Thank you, Jonathan. It's great to be with you here this morning in Cookeridge. I had the pleasure of visiting Caring for Life back in April with Ken and Frieda Vallely from Northern Ireland, from our church in Armagh. And I happened to mention I was passing through England this weekend on my way from France to Scotland as part of our family holiday. We've spent a few days in France, and now we're heading to my brother's farm in not such a pleasant place, Carstairs in Scotland. In Lanarkshire, I think it is. But anyway, that's where we're heading for the next few days before we head back to Northern Ireland on Thursday. We've been enjoying the warm weather, and hopefully it'll pick up again tomorrow. But great to be with you here this morning. I love church planting work. I spent 15 years at it, both in the North and in the Republic of Ireland. And it's great to come to a new church like this, just getting off the ground, and just to enjoy that life and vitality that you get in a new church plant like this. And I wish you God's blessing in the days that lie ahead. I want to read just a few verses from Romans chapter 15. If you have your Bible, maybe you could turn it up. I want to read verse 13 first of all. I'm going to spend most of our time in that verse this morning, but I want to set it in its context a few verses earlier on in the chapter that speak about the same theme. As you can see on the screen, the theme this morning is hope. And Romans 15 and verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That's our verse for this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. But set in its context, look at verse 4 to 6. 4, 5 and 6. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." They say that people can still remember where they were when J.F. Kennedy was assassinated in 1963. Well, I have to confess that was before my time. But maybe you can remember where you were when Princess Diana died in that car accident in Paris in August 1997. I can still remember where I was when the Twin Towers came down in 2001. I was in Killiekeen Forest Park, near Cavan, where I was church planting at the time, with my wife Judith and my two children Peter and Jenny. Michael wasn't born at the time, and my mum and dad had come down to spend the day with us, and I can remember the peace of that beautiful forest park being shattered as we listened to the radio in the car and heard about two planes flying into the World Trade Center in New York on 9/11, the 11th September 2001. Absolutely everything changed that day. And since that, we've lived through the property boom that lasted for 7 years, from 2001 to 2008. Everything seemed to be on the up and up back then as property values continued to rise, until the crash of 2007 or 8. But not anymore. Since then, we've had the credit crunch, we've had the economic downturn, we've had the double dip recession. And at the turn of the year, a new term was coined in America. The US economy and the world economy was about to fall over what they called a fiscal cliff, or so we're told. They've run out of terms to describe this phenomenon we've been facing in the last few years. And since then, many countries and businesses and families have been struggling to keep their heads above water. What a hopeless world we live in. I don't remember a time that has lasted so long when there was such a total lack of hope out there. Everywhere we look, even the pop star Rihanna sings about it, "I found love in a hopeless place." And my text this morning is a verse for such a time as this. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Did you hear that? May the God of hope fill you, so that you may overflow with hope. This verse claims that we can live Christian lives that are filled to overflowing with hope. I wonder, do you believe that? because I'm not sure that some of us do anymore. Maybe some of you, even as professing Christians, have stopped believing that this verse is true. Maybe you're not filled with hope. Maybe you're not filled to overflowing with hope. You're hopeless. You've been emptied of hope because of things that have happened in this world, or things that are going on in your life, or things that are happening in your family. And so we need to take a look at this verse this morning. I want to talk to you about hope. And I first of all want to turn your attention to the source of hope. Our verse tells us who the source of hope is. It's the God of hope. The God of hope. Verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. It's not a pastor, it's not a church, it's God himself. But who is this God of hope? Well, people look for hope in all kinds of places these days. They run after all kinds of gods to try to give them hope. So which God is the God of hope? Is it Allah? Is it Buddha? Is it money? Who is this God of hope? Well, the God who's mentioned in this verse as being the God of hope is the Trinity. The three members of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are all mentioned in this one verse. May the God of hope, there's the Father, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, there's the Son, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all mentioned in this one verse. That's who the God of hope is. The God of the Old Testament, who created all that we see around us. From the most minute, microscopic detail to the vastness of the universe, that's the God who is the God of hope. And he didn't just wind up this world like a clockwork toy and then leave us to our own devices. No, this God, our God, is still intimately involved in the most minute details of our lives to this very day. He's the God of Adam and Eve, the God who didn't give up on them whenever they gave up on him in the Garden of Eden. He's the God who kept going after his people down through the ages of the Old Testament, no matter how many times they turned their backs on him or went their own way into idolatry or adultery or whatever else it was they looked to as their source of hope in a hopeless world. Because down through the ages, people went looking for hope in all the wrong places too. But God didn't give up on his people. And he's the God of the New Testament. The God who kept all his promises from Old Testament times. The God who sent his only Son to be the Messiah. The God who loved this world so much that he gave his one and only Son. He's the God who gave us his Son at Christmas. He's also the God who gave his Son up for us at Easter, as he put him to death on that cross in our place. But hope against hope, he's the God who raised his Son up from the dead to give us hope even in the face of death itself. He gave us the hope of the resurrection. He gave us the hope of eternal life. Not just more of this, all the things that we endure and put up with down here in this life, but abundant life here and hereafter in a new heaven and a new earth with him in his presence forever. That's the God who is the God of hope. It's not Allah. It's not Buddha. It's not money. It's not any of these other gods who have never done anything for anyone. Our God, the God of hope, is the God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father who loved us, the Son who died and rose again for us, the Holy Spirit who's been given to us to comfort us and encourage us and strengthen us throughout our lives here on earth and until he calls us home. God, the God of the Bible, is the source of hope. So don't look to any man for hope. Don't look to any church for hope. Look to God himself for hope. But then I want you to notice, secondly in this verse, the sisters of hope. I wonder, did you notice them? One's called joy, and the other's called peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Here's the sisters of hope. You see, hope doesn't stand alone. Hope does things for us. Hope brings you joy, and it brings you peace. Without hope, we're hopeless. Without joy, we're joyless. And without peace, we are restless. It was St. Augustine of North Africa who said in his Confessions, "You have made us, O Lord, for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." In other words, God has so designed us as human beings, the deepest longings and desires for happiness and for joy that are built into the very fabric of our beings can only be met and satisfied in God. We can try to find satisfaction in everything else under the sun, just like Solomon did in the book of Ecclesiastes, but unless we recognize that true happiness and true joy is only to be found in God, then it will all be a chasing after the wind. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you," and he should know. As a young man in North Africa, now the country of Tunisia, he ran after all kinds of pleasures. He was known as a womanizer, but he had a godly mother who prayed for him. And one day Augustine had a dramatic conversion. He realized the emptiness of all that he was chasing after in this world, and he turned to God, the God of hope. And that's what he found. His heart was restless until it came to rest in God. But has there ever been a time whenever we as Christians have been running after all the things of this world so much? We're restless. We're never happy. We're never content. We're never satisfied. And yet we profess to have found our hope, our peace, and our joy in God alone. Well, I'm sure to the watching world sometimes it doesn't look like it. If we're constantly looking for more, we're still restless. If we have really found true living hope in God Himself, if we really found peace and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, then why are we still so restless? Why are we still running after more and more things? If joy and peace are the sisters of hope, then where do we get them from? Well, that brings me thirdly to the secret of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. But how does he do it? As you trust in him. That's the NIV says that. The New International Version says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. The King James Version or the Authorized Version says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Which is it? Well, I think it's both. Let me explain why. The NIV gives the impression that it's at the start of your Christian life, as you trust in him, as you put your trust in Christ, that you're filled with hope and joy and peace as you trust in Christ for salvation. And that's absolutely true. I can still remember nearly 40 years ago now, on the 1st of January 1974, as I put my trust in Christ as a 7-year-old boy, I can still remember the sense of joy that flooded my heart that night. We are filled with hope and joy and peace as we trust in Christ. Think about some of these verses in the book of Romans. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we trust in Christ, we're filled with the peace of God in our hearts. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's just two of the verses, the key verses of this great book of Romans, that are true the moment that we come to trust in Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. There are so many more. Believing such promises flood our hearts with hope and joy and peace at the moment of our conversion as we trust in Christ. But the rendering in the King James Version is also accurate. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The idea is, as you go on believing. And that's the secret of this hope that we're talking about this morning. It's only as you continue to believe this gospel, it's only as you actively believe this gospel, that your heart will go on being filled with hope and with joy and with the peace of God that passes all understanding. You see, you're not too far down the road as a Christian until you come up against a few problems and a few difficulties. We all face a few hard knocks along the way in this life. So what happens then to this hope that was in our hearts when we come up against those difficulties and those problems? What happens then to the joy that flooded our souls? What happens then to the peace that was reigning in our hearts? Does it all disappear? Or does it stay with you? Because that's the crux of the matter. Where is God when things go wrong? Where is God when it hurts? Where is God when things don't turn out the way that we expect it? Has God really promised to be with us in the valley of the shadow of death? Or was that just a lovely idea in a psalm in the Old Testament that doesn't really apply today? You see, this is where I think some people are at in their walk with God. Maybe some of you have been passing through some very testing times. Maybe some of you can look back over some very difficult years when everything seems to have gone wrong for you. Maybe some of you have been facing illness yourself. Maybe some of you have had loved ones who are diagnosed recently with serious illness and aren't too well at the moment. Maybe they've been diagnosed with a serious illness or cancer or something like that, and you don't know how you're going to cope. Maybe some of you have got to the point of trying to cope with a difficult family member and you just don't know where to turn anymore. And I wonder this morning, is it that your peace has gone, or your joy has gone, and your hope is all but gone? If so, what's the answer? Well, the secret of hope is to go on believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, as you go on believing. It's as you go on believing that you have hope. And so don't lose faith this morning. Don't give up. Keep on believing. And how do I know that is the answer and not just a pious platitude? Well, that's why I read verses 4 to 6 as well this morning. What is the secret of this hope? How can we go on having this hope? Verse 4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through what? Through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have what? We might have hope. Through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." If joy and peace are the sisters of hope, as we saw it in verse 13, then what are the sisters of faith or belief here in verse 4? It's endurance and encouragement. EE, endurance and encouragement. Recently, a few mobile phone providers such as Orange and T-Mobile have clubbed together to launch a new mobile network called EE. It's supposed to stand for everything, everywhere. But I can assure you I was getting nothing, nowhere. Anywhere south of Armagh City, where our church is located, and heading south, we were doing some outreach in a neighbouring town, I got absolutely no signal. I was in a black hole as far as mobile phone coverage was concerned. So I had to change provider. Now I'm with Vodafone and I get some coverage somewhere. I'm getting some signal somewhere. Well, if you want to get out of the black hole of despair and a total lack of hope, you need EE. Not everything everywhere, but verse 4 says endurance and encouragement. That's what you need. What kind of encouragement? Says here in verse 4, the encouragement that comes from the Scriptures. Everything that was written in the past. Why was it put there? Well, we're told here. It was put there to teach us and to help us to learn lessons and to enable us to keep going, to encourage us along the way, because it's never been any different. Throughout the Old Testament and the New, believers in God's promises of a coming Messiah, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, believers in God's promises of eternal life in a far better place than this have what? They have all wavered in their faith. They have all wavered. And to keep them from wavering, they needed the encouragement of the Scriptures. They needed to read and to claim the promises of God in the Bible. But there's something else we need to encourage us and to help us keep going through a hopeless world, and it's in verses 5 and 6. May the God who gives this endurance and encouragement from the Scriptures give you something else as well. What is it? A spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. A spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do we need to keep on going? To help us to keep on believing, we need the sisters of faith, EE, endurance and encouragement. But we also, it says here, need a spirit of unity among ourselves as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God knew it wouldn't be easy to get through this world and one day arrive on the shores of heaven. And that's why he put us in local churches just like this one. A family of believers to be there for us, to help us to keep going, to give us endurance and encouragement. The Tour de France finishes today in Paris. As you know, it's a massive cycling race that takes place around France each year and usually finishes around this Sunday in July. You'll have heard of a man like Lance Armstrong, who was recently stripped of all his winner's medals because of the doping scandal that dogged his cycling career. And I'm sure you've heard of Bradley Wiggins, the first Englishman to ever have won the Tour de France. He did so last year. And this afternoon, another Englishman, Chris Froome, is hoping to win the Tour de France. 2 years in a row for an Englishman to win back to back. We hear of these famous names and faces who have won the Tour de France or who are trying to win it, as if it was a sport just for individuals to compete in. But the fact of the matter is that cycling is a team sport. It's not for individuals at all. It's all to do with endurance and encouragement and team unity. I was hearing on the news or in the newspaper or something a couple of days ago that Chris Froome, on about three stages ago coming through the mountains, he was kept behind in the team. He wasn't out in front. All his team leaders or team members did the hard work for him, and he was kept tucked in behind so he'd have enough endurance and energy left for the sprint finish in the race this afternoon to finish well. The fact of the matter is that cycling is a team sport, not for individuals at all. It's all to do with endurance and encouragement and team unity. To find the stamina to get around those 3,360 kilometres, you need a team. You can't do it on your own. And so the team members make up these various formations along the way. So their best team members aren't always out in the front, breaking through the headwind. Sometimes they're tucked in behind, in the slipstream of a teammate, so they can reserve energy for later on for the sprint finish, when they need it most to win the race. And it's just like that in the Christian race. We need endurance and encouragement from the scriptures so we can continue to have hope and continue to believe the gospel that saves us. But we also need to find endurance and encouragement from the spirit of unity in the team around us. And that team that God has given to help us heavenward daily is a local church like this. You need a spirit of unity. And you need to foster that spirit of unity in this church so you can all keep going. It's not just long-standing churches that fall out with each other and lose their way. I know from experience working in two church plants that small churches getting off the ground can have all sorts of tensions, pulling this way and that. Different people want different things. Different people have different ideas about how a church should be and how it should go forward. You need a spirit of unity to give you that endurance and that encouragement to keep going. And these are the secrets of hope. Keep believing. Don't give up. Find strength to endure and encouragement to keep going from the scriptures as well as from one another in this church. And don't withdraw from the fellowship at difficult times. Share your burden with others. That's the only way you'll be able to draw strength to keep on going. But then I want you to see at the end of verse 13, we have the surplus of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Why? So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The surplus of hope. God wants to fill us with hope, beginning of verse 13. He also wants us to overflow with hope, end of verse 13. But who to? To those around us who are without hope and without God in this world. That's how Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 describes lost men and women and young people and boys and girls, those who are without hope and without God in this world. And that's why the Holy Spirit was given to us, not to make us feel good, but to empower us to be his witnesses, to bring hope into a hopeless world all around us. The Holy Spirit was given to us to enable us to witness to others about the God of hope and about his Son, Jesus Christ. And isn't that what this world needs at this very moment? But the devil has been busy. He's not only sapped this world around us of all its hope, he's been busy emptying Christians of hope too. Have you listened to Christians recently? All they ever seem to do is moan about money. All they ever talk about is the economic downturn or the credit crunch or whatever other term you want to put on it. They've lost their hope too, because they've put their hope in all the wrong things that have now collapsed. The devil's been busy, even in Christian circles, sapping us of our hope. But if we have lost our hope, what use are we going to be to those around us who have no hope? The devil's done a powerful job in recent times in Christian churches, hasn't he? So what's the application of this verse to each of us here this morning? Well, finally, I want to renew your hope. Long-standing Christian, has something happened in your life that has robbed you of your hope? Are you still going through the motions of attending church and saying all the right things and living the best you can, but have you deep down lost your hope? Have you stopped reading your Bible for encouragement? Are you withdrawn from the warmth of fellowship where you need to be, encouraging one another in the Lord? How are you doing, long-standing Christian, this morning? New believer, maybe you started off with such enthusiasm. You were full of joy in your newfound faith. The peace of God had flooded your heart. You knew you were saved, you were forgiven, you were cleansed from all your past sins. But something went wrong. It's not how you expected the Christian life to be. You thought it would be all singing and all praising. It would be all mountaintop experiences. But now you know it's not. New believer, are you a bit disillusioned this morning? It's time to renew your hope in the Lord. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're just seeking for hope. You're looking for hope. You're looking for hope in a hopeless place in the world in which we live today. And you've come along to church to look for some evidence of real hope here as well. I hope you found it here this morning. I hope you realize that hope is to be found in God alone and through personal faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you'll come back again next time to find out more. But let me say this to each of you. This world looks for hope and the Sisters of Hope, joy and peace in all the wrong places. But maybe Christians have been guilty of doing the same, looking for hope in the things of this world instead of focusing on God Himself. We've seen this morning the source of hope is God Himself. Do not look for it in any man or in the church. Look to God Himself and find new hope in His Son, Jesus Christ. The secret of hope we saw is trusting in Christ alone for salvation. But don't just trust in Him once. Go on believing in Him through all the ups and downs of life until the day you see Him face to face. And remember, the whole point of this verse is the surplus of hope, so that we who are called to be filled with hope ourselves will overflow with hope to the hopeless world all around us. That's what this world needs to see, more than ever before, that we bring the hope of Christ to those who are without hope and without God in this world. And it's my prayer for you here in Grace Community Church that you will do that for the community here in Cookridge and surrounding area in the coming days. May you be known as a people who are filled with hope because your hope is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. We're going to finish this morning by singing King of the Ages, Almighty God.